Can someone, anyone, stop the ride? The Atlanta Braves need to get off. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I am Troy Brock, your host. You can find me on X at Troy B Baseball. Drew will be back tomorrow. I had to record at a different time today because, well, my son has a dentist appointment, so we got to get to that here shortly, and I'm recording a lot earlier than normal, and Drew has a small child of his own, even smaller than the one I've got, so those of you with kids, you understand. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. It's mostly going to be Braves-centric because there's a lot of news to talk about with the Atlanta Braves, and we'll get to that, but if you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment, hit that subscribe button. We are trying to reach 500 subscriptions before we get to episode 200. Today is episode 168, so help us hit that milestone. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating, share it with your friends, send your friends to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can be updated on all things Major League Baseball. And while it is all things Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves are just the team to talk about today because, wow, what a run they have been on. You know, it all started last year with the influx of injuries that they sustained over last year, and they still managed to win 89 games with the majority of their roster being hurt and missing a lot of the season, including superstar Ronald Acuña Jr. and their ace Spencer Strider. But then they had Chris Sale step up and win the National League Cy Young and the National League Triple Crown. So how sorry can you feel for them on the pitching side? But it's Sean Murphy missed a lot of time. Michael Harris II missed a lot of time. Ozzie Albies missed a lot of time. Matt Olson was in the worst slump of his career until the second half of the season, where he reverted back to being one of the best hitting first basemen in baseball. And it's just, it's been a rough stretch, and it's spilled over into this year. You know, they still are without Ronald Acuña Jr. He'll be back within the next month or two. They're still without Spencer Strider, though he is making rehab starts in AAA. He's set to make his second one on Friday, I believe. And it's their offense has just failed to be productive yet again this year, a lot like they were in the first half of last year. And their pitching staff has done the best that they can, but when you're not getting help from the offense, it's just it doesn't, you can't win a game alone on pitching. And so they are now 0-5 after dropping last night's game to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they did snap a stretch of a ton of innings without scoring a run on offense. I'm going to pull up this tweet from Lindsey Crosby that I do have bookmarked, and through the fourth inning of last night's game, they had 26 consecutive scoreless innings. So they extended that for three more. They went 29 innings without scoring a run before they scored one run in the top of the eighth. That is over three games worth of just not putting up a single run. For those of you keeping track at home, it's poor offensive baseball, and a lot of it has been bad luck. They've gotten a lot of hard hit balls that have just gone right to fielders, but also a lot of it at the same time is just their approach. You know, we have seen a better approach for the most part from the Atlanta Braves so far this year. It's not the same swing for the fences every time you take the bat off your shoulders approach that we saw from them last year, but from all of the guys, but there are still some guys that are doing that. And, you know, a big part of their offense also was lost yesterday. And one of the guys that had been productive in Jurickson Profar yesterday was suspended for 80 games with failing a test for PEDs. And he will be eligible to return to regular season games after serving his 80-game suspension, but he will be ineligible to participate in the postseason should the Braves make it that far. And the way they've played so far, it's hard to believe that they can make it that far. And it's crazy that their biggest signing this past offseason was Jurickson Profar, and he was working out, but it turns out that he's been on PEDs. And of course, he came out and he said that he was unaware that he was doing PEDs and all this other, this, that, and the other. And it's just, you, I don't understand why people lie. Like, I don't understand that aspect of it. Like, you failed a drug test. It doesn't matter how many you passed last year or whether or not you failed one last year. You failed one now. It doesn't matter. Like, you failed it. You're suspended. Why are you lying? It doesn't make sense. And I guess maybe it's because they're appealing it or something. I'm not entirely sure, but it just, hey, I messed up. Sorry. I won't do it again. I'll take my suspension. I'll be back in hitting games and I won't do it again. And it's Jurickson and Profar. So when he does it explains a lot of why he's been successful offensively for the past year or so, because he's not a guy really that you expect to have the sort of offense that he has had, that he has been producing over the past year or so. So it does explain a lot of that. The Atlanta Braves put out a statement. They said they were surprised and extremely disappointed to learn that Jurickson and Profar tested positive for a performance-enhancing substance in violation of Major League Baseball's Joint Prevention and Treatment Program. We fully support the program and are hopeful that Jurickson and Profar will learn from this experience. And, you know, the Braves just have had the worst luck of any other team in Major League Baseball. You know, I kind of grouped them together before this season. I grouped them together with, you know, the Los Angeles Dodgers as far as luck with injuries last year, and now this year, the New York Yankees. And there's another team I'm blanking on right now who has experienced a lot of injuries so far. Oh, the New York Mets this year. I've grouped them in all together, but I think the Braves are now taking the cake for the unluckiest team in Major League Baseball over the past year plus. And it kind of all started. All of the news about the Atlanta Braves started yesterday in a trade with the Reds. The Braves acquired outfielder Stuart Fairchild from the Cincinnati Reds in exchange for cash considerations. They transferred Joe Jimenez to the 60-day injured list to make room for Fairchild on the 40-man roster. But Fairchild was a outfielder that was DFA'd by the Reds to begin the year because he was out of options. And he's a glove-first outfielder with a career line of 224, 308, 389. So he doesn't produce much offensively. He's a glove-first option. And it was kind of a puzzling trade for the Braves because they have an influx. They have, at the time, you know, they had an overpouring of outfielders with Profar, Michael Harris, Jared Kelenic, Brian De La Cruz. They still have Alex Verdugo in the minors, and Eli White in the minors. Ronald Acuna Jr. will be back soon. And it was questionable. I don't know why they made the trade. I didn't know why they made the trade when the news first broke about the trade, but then shortly after, the news started coming out about Jurickson and Profar, and it made a lot more sense. And they've had a very rough go of it over the last year plus. And you know, this is a team that I expected to win the National League East. And I even, in our prediction show before the season started, I predicted the Atlanta Braves to make it to the World Series and win the World Series against the Texas Rangers, and they still have that chance to do so, but it's going to be extremely hard for them to do so with not only just the bad luck playing against them every time they turn around, but just the injuries, the suspensions. Jurickson Profar was their leadoff hitter for this season, and so for now, he would have moved once Acuna came back, but until Acuna comes back, Jurickson Profar was going to be their leadoff hitter and has been serving in that role. And they really don't have someone that is suited for that role. Maybe Michael Harris, but he struggled to this point in the year. And it's their offensive production from the outfield has now taken a drastic hit. While in the infield, the middle infield is just Orlando Arcia, who swings a wet noodle and has for the entirety of his career, and Ozzie Albies, who has regressed tremendously over the past few years and just is not the same guy that he once was at the plate and really isn't that much better defensively. So, you know, maybe this team doesn't have what it takes to win the National League East. Maybe they can still win a wild card. They're going to need a lot of things to go right over the next 157 games that they have left. And they need Spencer Strider to come back and be that ace that he was before he went down with an injury. They need Acuna to come back. And while I think it's going to be hard for him to replicate what he did in his MVP season, he's got to be at least somewhere between what he did in his MVP season and what he did last year before going down with an injury, and a lot closer to what he did in that MVP season to make up for the lack of offensive production from the rest of the lineup. And it's going to be hard for the Atlanta Braves this year, because it's just the Dodgers are now 6-0. I mean, and they haven't looked like a team that is going to lose anytime soon. And there's a chance, it's highly unlikely, but there's a chance that the Dodgers break the single season record for most wins in a year with the roster that they've constructed. Again, assuming their team can stay healthy, which is also highly unlikely with their starting rotation and their aging lineup. But then in the National League East, you know, the Mets have dealt with a lot of injuries to start the year, but their offense turned it on against the Miami Marlins. And yes, I know it's the Miami Marlins, but they still have a solid offense. It's the unit that is expected to be the strength of their team. And while they didn't show it against the Houston Astros, they showed it in yesterday's game against the Miami Marlins. And they're going to be tough. The Washington Nationals are a lot better this year than many people give them credit for, with their young core and their pitching staff. Their pitching staff did very well against the Philadelphia Phillies in the opening weekend. And, of course, the Philadelphia Phillies, who are another one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. And that's not bias. That's objectively a fact that the Philadelphia Phillies are one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. And it's going to be hard for the Atlanta Braves this year. They're going to have to find a four-leaf clover, pull a horseshoe out of their butt or something, because they need things to start going their way. They haven't for well over a year now, and they need things to start going their way, because it's getting tiring for fans of the Atlanta Braves, their fans. I don't know how much more their fans can take. I understand that they're never going to stop being fans of their team, and they're going to support their team no matter what, but it's got to be tiring, man. It's just hit after hit after hit after hit, and it just does not seem to end. And even from the outside looking in, I live in Braves country, so, you know, while I am technically a Phillies fan, I do also follow the Braves pretty closely, because I live and have always lived in Braves country for all of my life. And it's tiring for me, man. They're one of the Phillies' biggest rivals, and it's tiring for me to watch the Braves go through all that. And I feel for them, because I don't hate the Braves. Like, I don't hate any team. I'm a journalist, and I can remove my bias, but from the equation, but it's tiring, man. It's rough. It's rough watching a team go through what the Atlanta Braves have gone through. And you look at around the league, and, you know, you can bring up the Chicago White Sox, who broke the major league record for losses in a single season last year. And they're a bad team. Like, it's not really as tiring with them, because they're a bad team. You expected them to be bad, just like you expect them to be bad over the course of the full season this year. You don't expect that from the Atlanta Braves. You don't expect an 0-5 start from the Atlanta Braves. You don't expect them to possibly miss out on the playoffs. Again, I expected them to win the World Series this year because they were getting Acuna back, because they were getting Strider back. And now, who knows? Who knows what the future holds for the Atlanta Braves this year? They're now without their biggest offseason acquisition. They also DFA'd Hector Neris yesterday after the rough start that he's had to his tenure with the Braves. So he may not ever pitch for the Braves again. He may be two and out for the Braves. And they did, you know, a good thing that did go in the Braves' favor. They did call up Jesse Chavez in his place. So, you know, Jesse Chavez is back with the Atlanta Braves on the major league roster. But it's just, it's tough, man. It is tough. And he actually pitched last night. He went two innings. He did give up a run on two hits and two walks, but did get a strikeout in his outing, his first outing with the Atlanta Braves this year. But it's just tough, man. And you look at this lineup, and not a single hitter in this lineup is batting as a two at the beginning of their batting average, a two or better at the beginning of their batting average. Michael Harris, 158. Austin Riley, 111. Matt Olson, 143. Marcelo Zuna and Ozzie Albies, 167 each. Drake Baldwin, 067. And he is a rookie, so he does get a pass, while the other what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys before him, they shouldn't be doing that. You know, they're not rookies. They're veterans that have been in the league for quite some time. And then you do expect Jared Kelenic and Orlando Arcia to have lower batting averages. They're glove first fielders and really glove only fielders for the most part. But you don't expect that from the top five guys in their lineup, and you really don't expect it from the top four in Michael Harris, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, and Marcel Ozuna, especially after, you know, what Ozuna did last year and the hot stretch that Harris ended the year on last year. And it, again, it's early. It's a small sample size. You know, we're going to use that caveat a lot. Like Drew said yesterday, we're going to use that caveat a lot for the next month or so. And they certainly have time to turn things around. It's not time to completely jump off the Atlanta Braves bandwagon just yet if you are an Atlanta Braves fan, but it's going to be a long season, and it has already been a long season, and it's April 1st. Like, I wish that this was some kind of twisted April Fool's joke that the league was playing on Braves fans, because I do feel for them, man. It sucks. It's rough. It's a rough start to the year, and it may not get any better for a little while, but I don't know what to think about the Atlanta Braves right now, but it's going to be something to keep an eye on moving forward. And if you want a lot more in-depth insight into the Braves, I know I've just went 18 minutes on them, but if you want even more insight into the Braves, check out the Braves Today podcast from our old friend Lindsey Crosby and his newsletter, because he can go in a lot more depth than I can on the Braves. But something that I can go into depth on, and because I'm going solo today, I wasn't going to do this if I wasn't going solo today, but because I'm going solo today, it's been a while since I've had a good rant on a podcast, and this deserves it, because this doesn't make any sense. There is no more defending Rob Thompson as a manager, because this does not make any sense. The Philadelphia Phillies, for those of you who are unaware, on paper have, if not the best starting rotation in baseball, it is a very close second best to the Seattle Mariners. And that's not biased. That is objective fact. If you look at their starting rotation, it is Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Christopher Sanchez, Ranger Suarez when he returns, and Jesus Luzardo. They're not pitching in that order. Again, Rob Thompson's an idiot. And they also have Andrew Painter in AAA waiting in the wings, who will be up at some point. Ranger Suarez is hurt right now, so Taijuan Walker is filling in the fifth hole in the rotation. That's fine. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to eat the innings. The Phillies win four games and lose one every time through the rotation. That's fine. What doesn't make sense in the slightest, it's the opening couple of weeks of baseball. There are off days all through the schedule. The Phillies started on Thursday on opening day, had Friday off, had their home opener yesterday are off today. And instead of just going without a fifth starter in the rotation, they're still, not they, I'm sorry, Rob Thompson is still starting Taiwan Walker in a game this week. And while, yes, you know, it will be against the Colorado Rockies, he's the worst pitcher in baseball. They had two off days. You can skip his spot in the rotation. Let him pitch out of the bullpen. Let him throw a bullpen or an extra bullpen if you don't want him pitching out of the bullpen. He should not be pitching at all for any team because he is that bad. And the Phillies' rotation is historically bad on extra rest. You know who the worst person is in the rotation on extra rest? Aaron Nola. You're pushing his start back further so that Taiwan Walker doesn't get his spot in the rotation, which isn't even his. He's filling in for someone who's injured. You're pushing back Aaron Nola's start to have another scheduled loss because Aaron Nola is historically bad on extra rest because, God forbid, Taiwan Walker misses his start in the spot in the rotation in which he is just filling in for someone who's injured. Rob Thompson has a winning record as the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. That means absolutely nothing. If he did not have a winning record as the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, there'd be a lot bigger problems. He would be gone already. The Philadelphia Phillies are that good of a baseball team and have been that good of a baseball team in spite of Rob Thompson. I've said this multiple times. I don't know if I've ever said this on this podcast or at least went into as deep of a rant about it on this podcast. Rob Thompson is nothing more than a clubhouse vibes guy. He has no feel for the game. He has no knowledge about the game. It is very evident, and it becomes more and more evident the longer that he is a manager at the major league level. He's also well up there in age, and this is his first stint as a major league manager. He wasn't even a manager in the minor leagues. He was a bench coach. And you know what a bench coach needs to be? A vibes guy. He could be a bench coach. That's fine. He was the bench coach of the Phillies when Joe Girardi was the manager. And that's how he got this gig whenever Joe Girardi got fired. Because Joe Girardi was also bad as a manager. It makes no sense whatsoever. Rob Thompson is the reason the Phillies lost in the playoffs last year. 100%. Like it's objective. It's not subjective. He is objectively the reason why the Philadelphia Phillies lost in the playoffs last year because of the way that he used the bullpen. And this team is being held back. They would have won at least one World Series over the past couple of years if literally anyone else was the manager other than Rob Thompson. Maybe also other than Joe Girardi, but definitely other than Rob Thompson. It's if you watch this team on a daily basis and you can take your bias and your love for the team aside, if you are a Phillies fan, it's so clear that Rob Thompson is what's holding this team back. They're 3-1 now, but over the course of 162 games, there are going to be numerous amounts of losses that are the cause of Rob Thompson and Rob Thompson alone. In yesterday's ball game, Rob Thompson left Christopher Sanchez in an inning too long. He was at 85 pitches through the fifth inning in his first start of the year, his first regular season start of the year. Rob Thompson sends him back out for the sixth. Why? Because Rob Thompson is an idiot. That's why. And I knew that it was going to be bad. And Christopher, it wasn't as bad as I expected, But Christopher Sanchez did give up a home run, which gave the Rockies the lead. But it was the first run of the game. And it kept Christopher Sanchez's line for the game from being scoreless. Because Rob Thompson is an idiot. And he has no reason being a manager. Probably at any level, but definitely not at the major league level. It makes no sense. I will never understand Rob Thompson. Managers can't win a game for a ball team, but they can certainly lose them. And Rob Thompson has done a hell of a lot of losing for the Philadelphia Phillies during his tenure with the team. Today's slate of games, there are some good pitching matchups out there. Kodai Senga is making his season debut for the Mets, and he gets to face Sandy Alcantara. So that's going to be a fun matchup in today's game. Shane Baz making his season debut for the Rays. Corbin Burns making his season debut for the Diamondbacks against Will Warren, who is also making his season debut for the Yankees. And then let's see here. Another one, Logan Webb is making his second start, but Hayden Wesneski for the Astros, making his Astros debut. If you remember, he was a part of the trade that sent Kyle Tucker to the Chicago Cubs. So I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that game. We'll probably be watching that game because I'm interested to see what he can do. I've never seen him pitch, and especially with the Astros pitching factory, I'm interested to see what he can do. So I will probably be watching that game. And then there was one other one. Casey Mize and Logan Gilbert has the potential to be a good matchup. And Justin Steele, Luis Severino, Cubs and Athletics. That is the second latest game on the slate. We got a first look yesterday at the Athletics in their minor league ballpark after we saw the Rays in their minor league ballpark over the weekend. And It's interesting. The minor league ballparks are interesting, but I do like this pitching matchup of Justin Steele and Luis Severino, and I do like both of these teams this year in the Cubs and Athletics. I'm pretty high on both of these teams, as those of you who have listened throughout the offseason are aware. And then, of course, Chris Sale and Dustin May. Almost put Chris and Dustin together and made it Kristen. But Chris Sale and Dustin May. Sale making his second start of the year for the Braves, and Dustin May making his season debut for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are 6-0, and the Braves are 0-5. And coming into this year, these are two teams that I could have seen facing off in the National League Championship Series. It's for me, it was the Braves on one side and either the Dodgers or the Phillies on the other side in the National League Championship Series. But that's going to be another one to watch with Chris Sale on the mound, see what Dustin May can do on the mound in his first start of the year, and see if the Braves can snap their winless stretch to start the year and snap the Dodgers' winning streak that they've started the year with. It's been a crazy first few days of the season, and we got a long way to go. But thank you for joining me today on this episode of First Pitch. It was a very National League East heavy episode of First Pitch, but Drew should be back tomorrow, and we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming. But if you're watching on YouTube, again, help us get to 500 subscribers. We're trying to get there before we reach episode 200. Help us hit that milestone. Leave a like, leave a comment. Send your friends to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get news, notes, and updates on all things Major League Baseball. And check out the First Pitch newsletter. I will leave the link in the description. Today's issue of the newsletter, of course, covered a lot more news. I left the Atlanta Braves for the podcast, and a lot of the other news from yesterday is in the newsletter for today. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe there so it gets sent to your inbox daily. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.